Good morning. Let me tell you the following about the two sheets that you have in front of you. The second sheet is the text that we will need of Parashat Chayei Sara, and this coming week's Sedra is Chayei Sara. But in order to get to Chayei Sara, I am going to take a little bit of Lech Lecha, Vayera, until the peak experience, which is Chayei Sara. The topic for today's shiur is one of the personalities in Torah that fascinates me no end. The last time I talked about him was, I think, 6 years ago, and since then we have collected so much more material about him, and that's going to be the text of today's shiur. That's going to be the text. The personality that I want to talk about is, of all things, the central figure in Parashat Chayei Sara. Central. Not only is he the central figure in Chayei Sara, he is a figure who, in a real sense, dominates all of Jewish history. He becomes one of the architects of the Jewish people. And his name doesn't appear once in Parashat Chayei Sara. He's called all sorts of things, nice names, called all sorts of things, but his name never appears. We will see that he is referred to as Ha'eved, the servant. He's called Ha'ish, the man, but never by his name, Eliezer. In Parashat Lech Lecha, he will appear once by name, which means that that's the one time he appears by name in all of Torah. He is referred to. They can't hear me.
Lift up the mic.
No, the mic is
okay.
The problem is if I'm too close to the mic. It's going to make all sorts of noise over there. If I'm too far from the mic, you don't hear me. That's the way it always is. If a rabbi does something, it's no good. If he doesn't do anything, it's also no good. Okay. All right. Okay. Eliezer appears once by name, is referred to a number of other times, and we only know through Rashi, Chazal, that it is Eliezer. He's going to appear in Lech Lecha. In Vayera, he's not even going to appear neither as Eliezer, nor as Ha'ish, nor as Ha'eved. In Parashat Vayera, he's going to appear once or twice. Avram goes to the Akedah, Ushnei Ne'orov Imo. His two lads are with him. And Rashi tells us that these two Norim who are with him are Yishmael and Eliezer. That's the only reference in Parashat Vayecha. In Parashat Lech Lecha, oh, do we hear about him. So let's take a look first at the references in Lech Lecha. Number one, Vayishma Avram Kinishba Achiv Vayorek Et Chanichav Yilidei Beito Shmona Asar Ushlosh Meot Vayirdof Adan. There was a world war that was going on. Four mighty, powerful kings versus five mighty, powerful kings. And in the course of this great struggle, Lot is captured. Lot is taken captive. From Chazal, it seems very clear that this was not a simple struggle over land. It seems religion was a major issue here. And it seems also that one of these kings, was it Amraphel or Kedolom? Amraphel was Nimrod. They were out after Avram. and the next best thing to Avram was Lot. They captured Lot. So then one of the people on the field of battle flees, and he comes to Avram and he tells Avram that Lot, his nephew, has been taken captive. Vayishma Avram. Avram heard ki nishba achiv, that his brother, here it means mishpucha, the son of his brother, was captured. Vayorek et chanichav, and he armed his initiates. I don't know what initiates are, but the ones who were members of his household. Chanich, anybody in Bnei Akiva doesn't have to be asked what chanichav, or even in yeshiva, chanichim, chanichei hayeshivot, the students of the house of Avram. They are all armed and they go out to battle. They were 318 vayerd of Hadon, and he pursued them until dawn. Vayecholek aleihem lailo, they divided themselves into different groups during the night, and Vayerdefen pursued them all the way to Damesek. Hashem Yismol Lechova. Rashi says, there we have the Rashi, Shmona Asar, 318, Rabbeinu Amru, Eliezer Levado Hoya. Our rabbis say it was Eliezer alone. One man went out against the four mighty kingdoms. And who was it? It was Eliezer. V'hu minyan gematria shel Shemo. 318 is the numerical value of the name Eliezer. So we're talking, this fellow Eliezer is an awesome and powerful individual. It may very well mean that he was the commander and there were those who went with him, but there's no question about that what happened over here was a plain, clear miracle of awesome proportions. That's what it was. It was a miracle. Eliezer is the one who crushes four mighty kingdoms. There's one other little piece of information that we get from Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel writes that they went out to battle, and who led the forces in battle? Eliezer ben Nimrod. Now you have to get this. This has to seep into you. Who was the great antagonist of Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu represented God and idolatry, the one who called upon people to rebel against that God in heaven was Nimrod. Nimrod is the one who cast Avraham Avinu into the Kivshan Esh. We're talking about two awesome and mighty people who are locked in battle. Avraham represents the real God, and Nimrod represents idolatry, a pagan world, a world that rebels against God and rejects him. And who is it that goes out to wage war against Nimrod? Eliezer ben Nimrod. Now, there are a lot of ways you can look at it. You can, of course, look at it from some kind of a cheap psychological point of view, that if a son like Nimrod, like Eliezer, wants to aggravate the kishkis out of his father, what's the worst thing you can do to your father? Become a Talmud of Avraham. You understand? Nimrod is rebellion against God in this world, and Eliezer joins Avraham. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. The pshat is clearly that Eliezer saw the greatness of Avraham. If he's raised in the house of Nimrod, the father who casts Avraham Avinu into the Kivshan Ha'esh, into the furnace, and Avraham emerges unscathed and unharmed, the one who has a modicum, a little bit of clarity of vision, understands that truth is with Avram. But he has the courage of his convictions that he is openly going to join Avram. He's going to step out of the world of his father Nimrod. He's going to walk out of the world of idolatry, and he's going to enter the world of Avram Avinu, and he's going to serve the God of Avram. What a name he took. And I'm wondering whether this first time that he appears, his name is not mentioned. His name is going to be mentioned the next time he appears. Is it possible that he took or was given? He took the name Eliezer after this great victory over the four mighty kings. Moshe Rabbeinu called his first son Eliezer. And he called him Eliezer. Why? Because Elokei Ovi Be'ezri, the God of my father, is the one who saved me from the hands of Paro. By the way, it's not only Moshe who has a son, Eliezer. Somebody else has a son, Eliezer. Who else has a son, Eliezer? Who said that? Who said that back there?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
I just said Moshe. Aaron, who's Moshe's brother, starts off with four children. Nadav, Avihu, Eleazar, v'Isamar. Is it appropriate that they should give their children the name Eliezer, expressing the idea that the Rebbeinu Shlalem is the salvation of the Jewish people? Is it possible? And this is, of course, I'm just imagining that it is so, that he got the name afterwards, or he took the name afterwards. Maybe he took that name when he saw Avraham Avinu coming out of the Kivshan Ha'esh unharmed. Yeah. Eliezer, first time he appears in Torah, he's a man of awesome siyata d'shmaya. God is on his side. He is the right-hand man of Avraham Avinu. Well, let's go to the next time he's mentioned. Acharad, number two, Acharad Dvorim Ha'ele, after these things, after what? The battle is over. Avram Avinu returns victorious. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem goes out to greet him, and so does the king of Sodom. And Malki Tzedek says, Baruch Avram, Avram is blessed, Lekel Eyon, by the Almighty God. Acharad Dvorim Ha'ele, after all of this, Hoyadvar Hashem al Avram, Bamachzelim, God appeared to Avram in a vision, saying, Al Tira Avram, don't be afraid, Avram. Anochi Magen Loch, I'm the one who is going to protect you. Schor Chahar Bemiod, your reward is very great. What is he afraid of? Torah doesn't say what he's afraid of. Rashi says what he's afraid of is he has now made enemies of the most powerful countries in the world. They're not going to want to take Nekama from Avraham for all of the people that he killed, for all of there may have even been some innocent civilians. Incidentally, Avraham himself was also concerned. Somebody during the course of battle may have been killed who didn't deserve it, you know? Can't help it, but that's the way it is in war. That's the way it is in war in all of history, all over the world, except here. Wait till we find out from all of the released documents how many hundreds of thousands of civilians were killed by the United States troops in Afghanistan and all over. Freiknish, Freiknish, Freiknish. And we're the only ones singled out by the whole world. But all right, I better stick to Torah. But that's Torah. Same thing happens all the time. But Avraham Avinu was concerned about that. Schor chahar b'miyod, your reward is great. Yomer Avram, Avram responds to the Rav Enishmi and says, Hashem Elokim, ma titen livo no chi hole chariri? What are you going to give me? I am childless. Where will my message, where will everything that I stand for, where's it going to go to? My wealth that you've given me, what's going to happen to that? Ma titen livo no chi hole chariri? Uben meshek beiti? And the one who is in charge of my house, Ben Meshek Basi, who Damesek Eliezer. Damesek Eliezer, first and only time that he's mentioned by name. He's called Eliezer from Damascus. Damesek Eliezer. He's the one who's going to inherit everything. So the Rishon tells Avraham Avinu, Avram says, you have not given me children. Anyway, the end is going to be that the Rishon tells you, don't worry, you're going to have a child. Eliezer is not the one who is going to inherit and carry on the message. All right, let's see what Rashi says over here. Ben Meshek Basi, the steward of my house, this is to be understood, Ketargume, as the Targum Unculus renders it, Shekol Beito Beiti Nizon Al Piv. My entire household is sustained by his mouth, by his orders, his management. Kemov Al Picho Yishak, just as it says that Paro said to Yosef, through your mouth, all of Egypt is going to be sustained. You're going to make the decisions. Apotropishly, the term Meshek basically means you are my manager. Vilu hayoli ben, and if I would have had a son, hayobni memuna ala sheli hamemune sheli, my son would have been in charge of all that belongs to me. All right, Damesek. This is a beautiful Rashi, one of those Rashis that I cherish. One Rashi, you know, that I get all excited about. Rashi says three pshatim in why Eliezer is called Damesek Eliezer. One, Lefi HaTargum, according to Targum, Unculus, Mi Damesek Hoya. How do you like that? That's pretty straightforward. That's simple. He came from Damesek, so he's called Eliezer of Damascus. Okay? Lefi Medrash Hagada, according to the Medrash, Sherodaf Hamalochim Ad Damesek. The Pasuk had said here in the Parsha that he pursued the four mighty kings all the way to Damascus. Nelson was Nelson of Trafalgar, right? Do I have to tell you who Nelson of Trafalgar was? I mean, they're George Washington of Valley Forge. Eliezer was the victor, the mighty one of Damascus. Four great powers, the four greatest powers in the world. He pursued them and crushed them at Damascus. But remember, in that pursuit and in that crushing, it's a son who is pursuing his father to the death. Now comes... Yes?
It says back when they war that I'm done. So it's done and
done. I didn't give you, I didn't have the rest of the next pasuk. And I said it out when I read it. Mi smola Damesek, it says. Mi smola Damesek. Believe me, it's there. Then comes the last pshat. Last pshat, here is one of those unusual Rashi's. I know of only one other like it, maybe two, no, one other in all of Chumash. Rashi says, Ubi Gemara Shalanu. And in our Gemara, the Babylonian Talmud, you see his second pshat had been Medrash Agada. The Medrash Agada, Medrash Bereshit Rabbah, Medrash was written in Eretz Yisrael. Talmud Bavli was written in Chutzlaretz, in Bavel. Now, Rashi quotes the Babylonian Talmud 1,000 times in Torah. Only twice does he describe it as our Gemara, Uba Gemara Shalom. One is here, and one is going to be in Parsha Vayigash. And on that one in Vayigash, we said Shiurim some years ago, long, long time ago, previous generation. Okay? But here, this is the first place, and there's only one more. Uba Gemara Shalanu. Now, Rashi is not a professor at Hebrew University who, when he quotes a source, has to tell us where the source is. He quotes Talmud Bavli time and time again without citing the source. Here, he chooses to cite the source. Now, what does Talmud Bavli say about Eliezer? Dorshu Nutrikin, they learned his name, Damesek, this addition to his name, Damesek, they learned it as an acronym. They expounded the word as an abbreviated form of Dole Umashke Mitoras Rabo Lachedim. Damesek means dole. He fetches, you know? Remember the old days when you'd go to the well, you know? Down goes the pail, you fill it up, and you raise the pail. Dole, dole means the pail is down there. Dole means you bring up the pail full of water. Umashke, and then you use that water to give people to drink. Okay? He was Dole Umashke Mitoras Rabo Lachedim. He was the one who disseminated the Torah of Avraham Avinu. He's not simply somebody who's running the house. He's not simply the one who's giving orders what to cook, what to bake, what to do. He is the great student of Avraham Avinu, who is disseminating to the world the Torah of his Rebbe. Dole Umashke, Da Mesek. Dole Umashke Mitoras Rabo Lachedim. Why did Rashi have to tell us that this is said by Gemara Shalanu, our Gemara? You know why? Because Rashi wants to tell us that there were, in many issues we find it, but we see it here so clearly, that there was a different way that they looked at Eliezer in Eretz Yisrael than the way they looked at him in Bavel. There were two completely different mindsets. The Medrash of Eretz Yisrael required people who are strong and are able to protect Klal Yisrael. In Bavel, we did not protect ourselves. Throughout the Golos, we were at the mercy of whoever was the ruling power. So what did Klal Yisrael do in the years of the Golos? Their focus became a focus from within. It became the focus of Torah. We didn't have political or military power, but we did have power of the spirit. Medrash Agada is looking at it from the classic Eretz Yisrael point of view, which is, he is Damesek Eliezer, because he was the one who was able to vanquish the enemies of Klal Yisrael at the time, who was Avraham Avinu in his house. Gemara Shalanu, Bavli, looks at Damesek Eliezer as being the great man of the spirit, the great teacher of Avraham's Torah to the world. I had once described Eliezer as the first Hesda student in history. Because Rashi is telling us there's no machlekes between the three pshatim. He was from Damascus. You're right, he was from Damascus. I hold he was raised in Damascus, and then he, at some point in time, he joined Avraham Avinu, and he became the great fighter for Avraham Avinu physically, militarily, and he became the great fighter for Avraham Avinu spiritually. Rashi is saying he's the one who had both the sword and the sefer. Saif v'Safra. He had both. He was the one who was ready to fight for Avraham Avinu, and he was also the one who taught and disseminated the Torah of Avraham Avinu. We're beginning to get a measure now of this Eliezer. And remember, this is the only time that his name appears as such in all of Torah. All right, so okay, so we saw that beautiful Rashi. That Rashi, I love that Rashi. And the sensitivity of Rashi to tell us what it is that was said b'Gemara Shalanu. How did Talmud Bavli look at it? Very rare. There is no other Rashi like this, except, as I say, one that is pretty similar in Parsha Vayigash. Number three, I just wrote Parsha Vayera, and only to point out that we've just now seen the where Eliezer is mentioned in Parshat Lech Lecha. He's mentioned in Parshat Lech Lecha as the one who goes out to wage the wars of Avraham Avinu. He's also mentioned in the conversation that takes place between Avraham Avinu and God, and says the only one who's going to inherit me is Damesek Eliezer. And there we have the Rashi that explains the meaning of the term Damesek. In Parshat Vayera, Eliezer appears as Avraham Avinu, who goes to the Akedah, Shnei Ne'orov Imo, and he has the two boys, the youngsters, with him. And Rashi says they were Eliezer and Yishmael, or Yishmael and Eliezer. And there may be a little problem over there. He says to them when he goes up to the mountain with Yitzchak to the Akedah, he says, Shvulachem po im hachamor, you remain here with the donkey. And the Gemara says, Am hadome lechamor, a people that are like a donkey. I have a feeling what it means is that they will never be able to plumb the depths of the Arkado. They will never be able to understand what Avraham Avinu was doing. He must leave them behind. I shudder to think if he would have taken them with him, whether the Arkado could ever have taken place. I don't know if Yishmael would have attempted to stop Avraham Avinu from slaughtering Yitzchak, but Eliezer certainly would have. So they're left behind. So there he appears. But he is going to make major strides forward. He's going to move up very, very high from the point of being the Am Hadom El Chamor. So we come now to Parshat Chayesara. In Parshat Chayesara, as I say, he's the whole Sedra. Eliezer Eved Avraham is the whole Sedra. And he never appears by name. Never appears by name. We'll see the Rashi, and then we're going to look at the text of the parasha itself. When Eliezer is telling over the story, and you have to know, the entire story of Eliezer is repeated in its entirety twice. Every detail of the story appears twice. The story of him coming to the in coming to the fountain, making his deal with God, the girl whom you have set aside for Yitzchak is the girl whom I will ask for water, and she will tell me, I will give you to drink, and I will also fetch water for your camels. That's the girl who you have set aside for Yitzchak. And the man can't believe it. As he's finishing, he's still in the middle of that prayer. He's coming to the end of the prayer. Here is this Rivka who comes out toward him, and everything, that whole agreement that he made with God, all of it comes true before his very eyes. It's awesome. It's awesome. Vohoish, we're going to see the pasuk says, Vohoish mishtoya, and the man is standing there in absolute amazement at what's transpiring before his very eyes. And finally, he gives her all sorts of jewelry. He finds out of all things, she's from the Mishpucha. Shiny Mishpucha, but no, but this, she's part of the Mishpucha. Lavan brings him home, and then he says, wait, they want to give him to eat, and he says, no, I'm not going to eat until I have completed the business for which I have come. And he repeats the whole story over again. Except, of course, and here we may have a few moments to deal with that, the differences between the ways the story is written when it happens and the way he tells it over to the family of Rivka, oh, there are significant, significant differences. And in those differences, we're going to see the wisdom, the sensitivity, the seichel hayosher of this Eliezer. He's going to be thinking on his feet. He's going to do an absolutely amazing job. And not easy. You have to find a shidduch for a 37-year-old. That's not easy business. And here it is. He's going to do the job. You know what it means he's going to do the job? He's going to lay the foundations for Klal Yisrael. We can say that we're here because of Eliezer. You may recall that I gave one of the shurim that I like. I mean, I don't want to describe how great it is, but I gave a shir about Rivka, this Rivka that we see, this young maiden whose chesed is maddening. She's running around and fetching water. I always say these 10 camel drivers that come with Eliezer are sitting over there twiddling their thumbs and they're watching this little girl. Her kindness, her goodness is boundless. That, of course, was the deal that Eliezer made with God. The girl who's going to have chesed that approximates the house of Avraham, she is the one. She is the one that you have set aside for Yitzchak. So that shir of a few years ago was, and how in heaven's name did Rivka become the great Balas Chesed? She has a brother Lavan, Vasar Roshim Rushim, can't imagine. Arami Oved Ovi, this is the Lavan who wanted to destroy Yaakov and the entire family of Yaakov. Besuel, the father, was not really a great tzaddik. He was a Rosh Hashem too. They were idolaters. They were evil people. Where do you get a Rivka like this? Where does she grow? So I remember I gave, okay, good. See? So I gave that shir in which I described that there was a, God had planted a mole in the house of Lavan and Besuel. A maidservant who sat there in the kitchen peeling potatoes, but she was one of the great students of Avraham Avinu, and she was planted there by the Hashgacha Pratis. Understand? There again, God's sense of humor is awesome. From the house of Nimrod comes an Eliezer. From the house of Lavan, in the house of Lavan and Besuel, there's an agent in place, the Hashgacha, God's divine providence. There's a woman who had been a student of Avraham and Sarah in Padan Aram, and she is the one who's sitting there quietly, quietly. Nobody even notices, nobody even cares about Rivka, but this Devora is the one that forms and forges the personality and the character, the greatness of Rivka. You know what, I get a feeling that Yitzchak on the one hand and Rivka on the other hand have these two students of Avraham and Sarah who prepare, lay the groundwork for the next generation, which ultimately means all of Klal Yisrael until today. Eliezer is the one who takes care of Yitzchak. Devorah is the one who takes care of Rivka. I'll tell you, while I was preparing the shir, there was one thing that bothered me. It still bothers me. But I think it's getting a little less bothersome. When Avraham leaves Padan Aram, Lech Lecha, Mi'artcha, Mi'labtcha, Mi'beit Avicha, he brings the souls that he made in Haran. What happened to all of those people who had joined Avram and Sarah in Paddan Aram? What happened to all of those people who had joined Avram? You hear nothing of them. And even these two, Eliezer, whatever happened, were Eliezer's children students of Avram? Did they ever become anything later on in history? We have no way. And Rivka's children? Don't know. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what happened to them. We know exactly what happened to Yitzchak and to Yaakov and to all of Klal Yisrael. But whatever happened to the thousands of Paddan Aram and the Eliezer and the Rivka? I have a feeling. Dvorah. Thank you. You know, I always throw these mistakes in just to see if you listen. It's awesome. Eliezer and Dvorah. I just get this feeling maybe their whole tachlis in this world. One's tachlis was to find a mate for Yitzchak, and for that matter, it's Eliezer who brings Yitzchak together with Rivka and Devorah. It's awesome. These two great Talmidim of Avraham, they're the only ones we know about. We know about Eliezer, and we know about Devorah. And even Devorah, it's all theoretical. We assume. There's no other way it could have happened. There's no other way that Rivka could ever have become the great Balat Chesed that she was. There was no other sane, real way. It had to be that somebody who was from the house of Avram and Sarah that would be able to transmit that to her. By the way, in Parshas Chayei Sarah, when Yitzchak is going to marry Rivka, it says that great pasuk, Vayivieho Yitzchak ha'ohela Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. Vayehoveha, and he loved her. And Rashi says he brought her into the tent of his mother, and she is Sarah imo. She's the spitten image of Sarah imo. The famous Rashi that says that as long as Sarah was alive, there was a cloud of glory over the tent. The bread would last, the challah would last from one Friday to the next, and the candle remained lit throughout. And as soon as Sarah died, all of this came to an end. And when Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent, behold, she is Sarah Imo. How does that happen? That can only happen when there was somebody between Avram and Sarah and that Rivka. So here we have Eliezer. He brings Yitzchak. Dvorah. I mean, that's really what happens on the road over there when she goes out. When she's finally arriving in Eretz Yisrael to Hebron or to Be'er Sheva, and she sees a man out there. It's all described in the Parsha. And she asks, who is that? And Eliezer says, that's my master Yitzchak. So what happens over there in the field? Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. What do you think he was praying for? He was praying for a Zivug Hagam. And there was only one girl on the face of this earth who was his Zivug. By the way, you only need one. And she was the one. So I'm making this up right now. But I tell you, when I see them meeting in the field, who do we have there in that field? We have Eliezer and Yitzchak. We have Rivka and Devorah. The kvaterin to this shidduch are the two great talmidim of Avram and Sarah. Eliezer is the Talmud of Avram. Devorah is the Talmidah of Sarah. Well, this is beginning to sound better every minute. And what takes place in that field is laying the foundation for Klal Yisrael L'Olam Vaed. It may very well be that Eliezer and Devorah have done their job. Done their job. The rest is going to have to come from the family, the seed of Avram. No one else will ever be able to achieve that unless they will go through a process of gerus and they will join the Jewish people completely. But at that point, they bow out from the stage of history. They have done their job. If I would want to give a title to Eliezer and Devorah, I would say they were most probably the greatest enablers in history. They were the enablers. They brought about this great shidduch. And it was a shidduch that required a great deal of effort. But there was a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya every step of the way. I'm always amazed in Parshat Lech Lecha, in Parshat Chayisara. One word that always blows my mind. They asked this girl, will you go with this man to marry this unknown over there? And she says one word. That's probably the most powerful word in Torah. Eilech. That's all. I will go. She never met the man until a few minutes ago. She's going off to some foreign country, who knows how many weeks travel. She never met the chassan. Eilech, I will go. Do you know why she's able to say, Eilech, I will go? Because throughout the years of her growing up, there was a Devorah that was sitting in the kitchen and telling her, you know what? One day, somebody's going to come for you. The Rebbe Shem is going to send your Zivik here in the house. Rivka must have told Devorah, you made me so frum. Not only nobody will marry me, there's nobody out there that I can marry. There's nobody in this whole society that I can marry. There's nobody in the whole world that I can marry. And Devorah told her, Rivka, don't worry. Don't worry, the Rebbe Shem is going to take care of you. When you least expect it, someday. And that's how he once explained the Rashi. It says that after Eliezer gives Rivka all sorts of Julie, it says, here, let's take a look at that last, the last page is the text. How will you be able to find this? I'm going to show you this. After Eliezer gives her the gifts, and he asks her Bas Miat, that's Pasuk. Why, what Pasuk is that? Why, I can hardly read it myself. No, Pasuk 16. 21, 22, 23. By Yomer, he said, Bat Miat. Whose door are you? Hagidin Oli, please tell me. Hayesh Beit Avich Mokom Lalun, is there a place in your father's house to stay overnight? And she says to him, Bat Betuel Onochi, I am the daughter of Betuel Ben Milka, the son of Milka, Asher Yolda Lenocha, that was born to Nocha. And she told him, Gam Tevin, Gam Mispo Ravimon, we have a lot of food for the animals, Gam Mokum Lalun, a place where to stay overnight. Vayikot Ho'ish, Vayishtachu, Lashem, the man bent and bowed before God. Then the next pas, Tupsukum later, Vatorot Hanara, the girl ran, Vatageid Lebeit Ima, and she told her mother's house, Kadvorim ha'ela. The girl ran and she told her mother's house about this. Rashi wonders why to her mother? So Rashi says, because, you know, that's the way girls are, they're closer to their mother. I ask a different question. She told it to the house or she told it to her mother? Why doesn't it say Vatorot Hanaro, the girl ran, Vatageid Le'ima, and she told her mother? Listen to this. Because the fact is she didn't tell her mother. Her mother wouldn't even understand what took place out there right now. You know what she did? She told Beis Ima. There's somebody sitting in the corner over there. She can't run into the house and go over to Devorah and tell her, Devorah, what you've been telling me for years, it happened. A man has come to take me to Eretz Canaan. V'atorat, she ran and she told the mother's house, she comes into the house and says, Ma, Ma. And you know where she's looking? She's winking to that woman who's sitting in Beit Ima, in the house of the mother. That's what's happening in this pasuk. Her father, nobody could understand. We're not talking about thrill or excitement. We see Hashgacha Pratis playing itself out. Everything that Devorah had predicted was coming true. So she runs and she tells Beis Ima, not the walls, there's somebody in that house who will know exactly what it means. So therefore, when you see that it says later that she took her meineket with her, I never understood. When I was a kid, I never understood it. The Kali understand is taking her nurse with her. What are you talking about? She was her nursemaid when she was growing up. But this nursemaid was not only the one who helped her grow up. She was the one that built, formed, and forged the spiritual world of a Rivka and made it possible for her to be the Shidduch of Yitzchak. All right. Let's go back to that first page, and I can't help it. I can't help it. What can I do? I have too much to say. Rashi tells us that number four, Eliezer says to them that I told my master, maybe the woman won't want to follow me. What should I do? Ulai lo telech l'isha, perhaps the woman will not go. So Rashi says this word, ulai, is written without a vav between the aleph and the lamed. Ulai should be written aleph, vav, lamed, yud. Ulai. Perhaps she will not want to follow me. By the way, the word ulai means much more than perhaps. The word ulai means, when I say perhaps, and it's something that I want should happen. Ulai means, maybe, the girl won't want to go. What is Eliezer saying? So Rashi says, you know what it says over here? A likesiv, to me. Eliezer had a daughter, and you know what he wanted more than anything else? To be mishabek zich with Avraham Avinu. Can you imagine what that would have meant for Eliezer, that his daughter should marry Yitzchak? A likesiv. Bat haitalo Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. Voyam chazir limtso ilah. He was searching to find a pretext. Sheyom elo Avram, that Avram would say to him, lifnot elav, to turn to him, lasi o bito, to marry, that Yitzchak should marry his daughter. Omar Avram, bini baruch, my son is blessed. Va'ata arur, and you are cursed. Vein arur midabeg bebaruch. And one who is cursed cannot cleave to one who is blessed. What a Rashi. But wait. Take it easy. Don't jump to any conclusions. The simple meaning, of course, is that Avram was from Shem, and Eliezer came from Cham. Cham is the one who had been cursed by Noah. But more than that, there's something that before the shir is over, I think we'll straighten out a little bit. Okay, watch. You know what it means? In this Rashi, I find the awesome greatness of Eliezer more than anything else. This man has a vested interest. He could have subtly made certain that Rivka will never come. But he carried out his task with brilliance, with sensitivity. It's unbelievable. That's one thing we won't be able to do. That'll have to be Yitzhak Hashem part two. Will come next year when we will see how, with what wisdom he talks. He is a salesman of the highest order. He knows exactly what to say, and even more than that, he knows exactly what not to say. And he does the job masterfully, despite the fact that he has a vested interest that Rivka should not be the kala. Do you know what strength that requires of a human being? Do you know what a kayak this Eliezer has? He's able to set aside his own needs, wants, desires, hopes, dreams, plans to be the my mechitin Avram. Can you imagine that? My daughter, married to Yitzchak, able to set all of that aside and do the job that has to be done. Therein lies his greatness. I think therein lies greatness even more than pursuing four major armies and crushing them. To pursue the four kings, one needed the spirit of struggle in order to find the zivug for Yitzchak. You needed a struggle of the spirit. Eliezer is able to overcome all of his personal feelings, set it completely aside. They don't matter. They don't matter. Now, you're still bothered by this Rashi, so I want to make this Rashi even more difficult. The next Rashi says, he's telling them, Vo'ovo Hayom, I came today. Today I arrived at the in Padan Aram. Rashi says, Hayom Yatzosi, Hayom Basi. Today I left. I left Chevron or Be'er Sheva today, and I came today. Mikan, from here we learn, Shekof Tzolo Ha'aretz, that the earth jumped and sprang before him. His journey was miraculously short. Omar Rabbi Yacha, listen to this Rashi. Omar Rabbi Yacha, famous Rashi. Yofe sichosen shel avdei avos l'shnei hamakom. The conversation. Sicha usually means simple talk. Sicha. Just plain sicha schulen, simple talk. Yofa, more beautiful is the sicha of avdei avos, the servants of the avos before God, mi torason shel bonim, than the Torah of their descendants. Sharei Parsha shel Eliezer, the parsha of Eliezer, kfula b'Torah, is doubled in the Torah. Twice it's all written. V'harbe gufei Torah lo nitnu elo b'remiza. There are great halachas in Torah that we learn from an extra vav, a yud. Torah is so sparing with every letter. And over here, what an expansive parasha. How do you take these two Rashis side by side? Yafa sichosam shalav deyavis is greater than the Torah of the Banim, and ein oru bidabek beborok, you know. Come on, Eliezer. Yeah, you're an oru, you know. So obviously we're going to have to learn that something has taken place over here. I don't believe that Avram told him, you lowly, miserable Auror, you cannot, you're not going to do a shidduch with a baruch. He's obviously talking about the fact that we come from two different, we come from two different cultures, from two different backgrounds, from two completely different families, families that have been struggling with one another. But there's also something else that happens. And here there's a beautiful idea that is expressed by Rav Kook. Before this Rashi, when they are out there by the well, Lavan, I think most probably Lavan regretted ever having said what he said. But Laban said to him, Bo Beruch Hashem, the Blessed One of God, come to our home. You Blessed One, Eliezer. He sees Eliezer as Beruch Hashem. There's something that he sees about Eliezer. That this Oved Avod Zara Lavan sees in this Eliezer, he sees godliness before him. Bo Beruch Hashem. So Rav Kook says the following. There's one other question, the big question. This is what we have to end with. Why was he called Damesek? Why did Rashi said, why was he called Damesek? He was the one who was able to fetch and pass on and transmit the Torah of Avraham Avinu. You know what that means? He is a receptacle. He is a vessel to be able to take Torah from here to there. But what did Rab Acha just say? That the simple words of the servants of the Avos are more beautiful than Torah. Do you understand? This same Eliezer, you know what's happened? His status has changed. When we said that he was the one who fetched the Torah of his Rebbe and transmitted it further, it means that he did not have the ability to be mechadesh, to be creative in Torah. He could only take Torah from here to there. But when you say that the simple words of the servants of the Avos more beautiful than Torah itself, it means that Eliezer has now reached the point where he is creative. He's a maker of Torah. He has invested this whole parsha with the sanctity of Torah. Mm-hmm. Rav Kook says, Avraham Avinu was the Ma'ayan. He was the fountain, the powerful fountain. Who's the one that takes from the fountain? Eliezer. Damesek Eliezer takes from the fountain. Dole umashke mitodas rabu salachedim. Avraham Avinu was from the sons of Shem. They are the heart, what Rabbi Yehuda Levi calls the treasure and the heart of all of mankind. And I think I'm reading into Rav Kook, but I believe I'm reading the truth into Rav Kook. The whole Sefer HaKuzri expresses, the first mimer of HaKuzri explains that it reached the point God thought that all of mankind would be his people, and then he saw, no, it's not going to work. There has to be one people on the face of this earth that will be the treasure, the heart of all of mankind. That people that will feel in their heart the suffering and the pain of all mankind. And they're going to be the ones. They will establish God's kingdom in this world. And therefore the decision came that it's going to be Avraham, and then it's going to be Yitzchak, and it's going to be Yaakov. They are the Lev and the Segula. Cham, Eliezer was from Cham. Shem is the one who creates. Eliezer, who's from the children of Cham, all of his power as a child of Ham is he can be Eved Avraham. That's what Noah said about Ham, Eved Avodim Yelecha. Eliezer, of course, has become the most awesome Eved to the greatest man who ever lived. But he was not yet Baruch. Do you know when he became Baruch? When Lavan says to him, Bo Baruch Hashem. Come, the Blessed One of God. At that moment, there's a dramatic change that takes place in the whole personality and status of Eliezer. Eliezer goes from being Oro to becoming Baruch. And from that moment on and further, everything he's going to say, he's going to repeat the whole story. That becomes Torah, because he's able to invest the mundane with the sanctity of Torah, because he is now a fountain like Avraham Avinu himself. He is no longer simply the one who is dole umashke, who fetches and transmits. He becomes one who now has the power to create in Torah. I'll tell you the truth. the shiur is really supposed to be based on the second side of the first page. We now have two shiurim for next year on this sedra. I don't know, I just, it's one of the smallest sedras in Torah. Wait, hanging over there, I'm not finished yet. Hold it. Rabbeinu Bechaya, I'll tell you in a sentence what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. It's awesome. I think that's the third time I used that word today. Until the point when he stands there with amazement, he is called Eved. Eved Avram, Eved. Eved, Eved, Eved. All of a sudden, Torah switches and he becomes the Ha'ish Mishto'eh. The man is standing in amazement. And then, nearly to the end of the Sedra, he is referred to as Ha'ish. The Eved becomes Ish. And then he returns to Eved. As he comes toward Yitzchak, he's Eved again. That means what happened over here, the status, the change in the status of Eliezer is pointed out right there in the Torah. You follow the psukim and you can figure out why he's called Eved and when he's called Ish. Makes a major difference. Eliezer was one of the great personalities of all of Torah. He was, together with Devorah, the two of these are the ones that created that first Zivug that was going to build Klal Yisrael. No, his name isn't mentioned in Parshat Chayisara, but he becomes the one who in fact creates the eternal Chayisara. Sara lives because of Eliezer.